God doesn't want to hurt our pride. He wants to kill it. And when he kills it, that's sanctification. And then begins the process, and we looked at some of it last week. Therefore, Romans 12. I urge you, brothers, he says, the Apostle Paul, I urge you to offer your bodies the living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. This is your spiritual act of worship. What? Offering our lives as a living sacrifice. The gospel comes to us, the teaching, the preaching comes to us, not just merely in words. The Apostle Paul says, our gospel came to you not just merely in words, but it came to you in power. And so the gospel of Jesus Christ, his church, his teaching, they are more than just the words and formulated doctrines and theology. They are the power of God, the incredible power of God that resides in us. And so he says, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What does this all mean? What does this mean? It simply means that everything has to change. Everything must change. Sanctification changes everything. It changes my thinking. It changes my relationships. It changes the way I look at other people. It changes how my heart responds, how I impulse my impulses to my environment. Everything has to change. And the total incredible change comes only when we surrender our pride to God and say, I am sick of this self-centered pride in my life. God, can you help me now? And here's my frank opinion, that we will never change. We will never experience the fullness of spirit in our lives unless we surrender our pride. We come up with different kinds of faces to that pride. This ugly self-centered inbred sin, the self-centeredness, it has many dresses. It has many faces that reflect as we look around and perhaps look within ourselves. Sometimes it's the pride of who I am. Perhaps my heritage, godly heritage, it's good to have that. It's perhaps, you know, all the saints that have existed in your family. It's perhaps the kind of church you attend. It's perhaps the kind of education you have. It's kind of perhaps the ministry that you involve with. It's kind of perhaps the experience that you've had with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. But you see, when we begin to find our security in these things, that's when we find that we have removed ourselves from the heart of what Jesus wants to look at. And so that pride has to go. Pride has to go. You will never be able to worship if there is pride. You will never be able to sit and hear the voice of God if there is pride in your life. You will never be able to pray if there is pride in your life. And all the sanctification does is it brings me to my knees to the point where I realize that I have a problem with pride and that I need to surrender that pride. The story is told of Korean missionary couple that was traveling just outside of the city of Seoul. A wintry night, It was just getting dark and it was snowing tremendously outside. It was a very chilling and very frightening night, they said. And all of a sudden, as they reached the bend on the road, they found a very pregnant woman having labor pains. Nobody to help. Nobody to take notice. And the woman is trying to give birth to her child. A real story. On the bend of the corner there, the missionary couple stops and they help that lady. And the baby is born. And the baby grows up, but the mother dies. The mother dies because in order to keep her baby warm, she begins to strip off everything she is wearing. Right from her hat to her jumper to her undergarments, she takes them off and she wraps her baby in order to keep the baby warm. And that boy, he's well and alive. Our mother's death, he says to the missionaries, "Will you take me to my mom's womb, tomb? Can you show me where is she buried?" And so the missionaries take him there. And the little boy stands there, perhaps in his teens at that time. That boy became a real dynamic preacher and he served the kingdom of God for many, many years. And he stood at his mother's tomb there, simply crying and saying, "Mom, just tell me how cold it was that night." Stripped off his shirt and said, "Was it this cold, Mom?" And then his singlet, and "Was it this cold, Mom?" And then his trousers and then his socks and everything else. Naked boy standing at the tomb of his mother saying, "Mom, was it this cold? Was it this cold? And you went through it to save me." The book of Hebrews says that Jesus hung on the cross, suffered outside the city gates. He hung naked, and the word that is used, the reason he hung there, is to sanctify you and me. And that's why the Apostle Paul says, in view of God's mercy, in view of what he's done for us, it calls for a response. In view of God's mercy, now you offer your bodies the living sacrifices. This is your act of worship. In view of what he's done for you, now you become vulnerable. Now you let down your guards. Now you take off your mask. And now you just strip yourself off before him because he took your shame and he hung there for you and for me only to sanctify us. I don't know what the Holy Spirit wants to do tonight. Perhaps I have no right to criticize your doctrine. Perhaps I don't even, and I don't really have any right to judge your behavior. Who am I? I do not have any qualification or credibility to judge your judgments or your morality. I'm just a simple, mere human being who has chosen to serve the Lord. I find that I need God's grace in a stronger and stronger way every day. And as with the Apostle Paul, I'm happy to say, "God, I thank you. You saved me, a chief of sinners. I have no problem accepting that. That's my place." But what I am called to do, and which I'll do without any apologies, is to show you Christ. What kind of Christ do you want to see tonight? I want to show you the kind of Christ who loves you. And unless you understand his love for you, you will never be able to be free in your life. As children, perhaps you were humiliated. But that shame is hanging on the cross now. You perhaps deliberately went and did something against the Lord. You broke his heart. Your sin is hanging on the cross. You felt as if somebody disrespected you and insulted you. Well, he hangs there with people having spat on his face and smacked in his face. He stands there. That's the kind of Christ the Bible offers. His beard is stripped to its roots. His face is disfigured. He looks horrible. The horror of the violence of the cross. The cross stands there to tell us how much he loves us. No beating around the bush. And if this cross becomes secondary to me, if this cross becomes obscure in the middle of my worship and my projectors and my guitars and my order of service and my church, doing my church, I missed it. Is Christ there? Are you able to see him? Will you stand before him tonight and say, I'm willing to let go? God, I know that I have been harboring this bitterness against so-and-so. I know that I have been, you know, insulted by so-and-so and offended by so-and-so. And I know that I should have lived a little differently. I should have treated my brother, sister, wife, husband differently. But tonight, Lord, will you show me the cross? You've lost your first love. He says, remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. Your influence will be gone. Your anointing will be gone. There will be no light because I will remove your lampstand. There will be no attraction. Because there's no lampstand there. Repent. Change your mind. Don't harden your heart. One of my earnest desires, my earnest prayers, is that my son, little son, doesn't matter whether he grows up as a Kiwi or Indian, but my humble prayer to God is that his little heart will never become hardened. That it will be soft before God all the time. And it's sad when we hear God's word and then harden our hearts. That's pride. I don't know. I'm going to stop here. I'd just like you to take a few moments and say, God, I want to open my heart before you. In a quiet moment of reflection, saying, God, I have held on to this hurt for so long in my life, and it's festering, it's hurting me. I need to let go of that. God, I feel angry because so-and-so have done such and such things to me, and that's when I was not wrong. They mistreated me. And you have to forgive them. Release forgiveness in the spirit realm tonight. The people that you have not treated right, your family members perhaps, Make a decision. It's just us, the family. Make a decision. Say, God, I want to be a different person tonight. Pour out your spirit in my heart. Heal me. And put your love in my heart again so that I'll start breathing. So that I'll become your child. And know your love for me. What I'd like to do is have a couple of songs, perhaps, Paul, if you can lead us in a couple of songs. And if we can stand, I'm not going to come to you and lay hands on you or pray for anything. It's just you and God. Wherever you are, just stand there. Make your chair your altar. Let the Spirit move. Holy Spirit, we pray that you'd come. That you'd speak to our hearts, stir us up. We pray tonight that we'll not hold back from you. Because you've loved us, we will become vulnerable before you. And saying, God, here's what I want to put at your cross today.